The impossible has become a reality. It's more impressive than man walking on the moon. It's like being born again. These were some of the comments made in 2014 after a paralyzed man from Poland had been able to regain the ability to walk. That patient, for 2 years, had lain in a bed in hospital, unable to walk, not any movement whatsoever in his legs. He had suffered a terrible incident, had been left paralyzed from the chest down, but no signs of recovery, no possibility they would ever stand on his own feet again. In his own words, he said, "I was helpless. No chance of recovery." That was for 2 years before a revolutionary procedure was performed on this patient. The surgeons removed some cells from the patient's nose, believe it or not, from his nose, and injected those cells into his spinal cord. Remarkably, these cell injections stimulated his damaged spinal cord and eventually gave it the ability to regenerate. 3 months after the procedure, well, there were some initial signs of success, a little bit of movement in the legs. 6 months after the procedure, well, the patient was able to take his first steps using big leg braces and being supported by two men. And 2 years later, after that procedure, with 25 hours of physiotherapy every single week, that man was able to walk outside using simply a frame to help. Words like amazing, compelling, inspirational have been used to describe this groundbreaking recovery. And I think we all have to admit it is a remarkable story. But in our passage tonight, Acts 3, we've got a similar, but I would argue an infinitely more impressive recovery set before us. This poor man too, he had also lain helpless, paralyzed for many, many years before a revolutionary recovery made him able to stand, to walk, to leap even within an instant. This man, once lame, now leaping, he paints a clear and a powerful picture of the believer in Christ. There's this really stark contrast in this passage between his poor, pitiful, powerless state and his now healthy, happy, and hearty condition. And that contrast, it teaches as much about the sinner before and after conversion. And tonight, we'll consider a picture of the sinner, once lame, now leaping. Once lame, now leaping. This paralyzed man was once lame. So first of all, we'll see this man's sad condition. His sad condition. Verse 2 tells us this man was lame from his mother's womb, completely unable to walk, unable to stand on his own feet, unable to manage without the help, without the aid of others. This man was completely unable to help himself. And in fact, any help that he got from others, it was only a temporary thing. Other people perhaps could feed him, could give him some money, perhaps give him a meal. We read in verse 2 that they carried him from time to time, but no one could fix his root problem. No one could give him the ability to stand on his own 2 feet. This man was beyond all human aid. We said that this man was lame. Notice also, this man was lame from birth. The phrase is lame from his mother's womb. This condition that he found himself in, it wasn't something that had set in recently. It wasn't an issue that had cropped up all of a sudden, perhaps after a terrible accident. Right from his first moment in this world, as an infant, this poor man suffered with the inability to walk. He was born lame. He was born powerless. In truth, his entire life's experience had been nothing other than misery and hopelessness. He was lame from birth. Man was lame, and that from birth. This man was also poor. Verse 2, we see that he was asking alms, that is, a gift of compassion. Verse 5, we read that he was expecting to receive. It's perfectly reasonable to expect that this man was poverty-stricken. He's one who probably had never been able to work, never been able to provide for himself. No way to earn money. And clearly, from the passage, it would seem he didn't have friends or family who would care for him. At that point in history, there was no government that was going to look after him. There's no social safety net for this poor man. He was left to his own devices. The situation was so dire, all he could do was beg. Simply sit on the ground and beg. All he could hope for was to rely on the kindness of other people. This man, we said, completely lame, poor, powerless, beyond any human aid, he was utterly hopeless. What a picture that paints of you and I. You might question that comparison. In no way do you see yourself as powerless, as pitiful, as hopeless, as beyond all human aid. You might see yourself as accomplished. You might see yourself as having it all together. You might say to me, well, I'm really quite fine, thank you very much. I don't particularly appreciate you calling me hopeless and pathetic. And to that I say, look a little closer. I say, look at what God says in his word of you and I. You're really not quite fine. You really don't have it all together. God's word says that you are hopeless, pitiful, pathetic. Revelation 3, we'll turn there to read a verse. Revelation 3, the Lord is speaking to the Laodicean church. These people thought they were just fine. They thought they were perfectly able. They thought they were perfectly accomplished. Revelation 3 and verse 17, the Lord says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. It's quite a list. He cuts right to the heart. He tells these people, and he tells you tonight, that in reality you are a miserable case. You're poor. The psalmist describes himself saying, I am poor and needy, a spiritual beggar. This man in Acts 3 was poor, yes. We've also said that he was lame. His sickness was more than any human could remedy. And the truth is, the entire human race is crippled also. Not, of course, physically, but spiritually. The word of God tells us that we are all spiritually lame. Paul, describing himself in Romans 7:24, says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul describes himself as wretched, pathetic, a miserable man, not because of any physical problems in his body, but spiritual. Paul sees that he is sick. In fact, more than just sick, as Paul describes in this verse, a body of death. The situation is dire. His condition is absolutely grim, as he writes elsewhere in his epistles, that all men are dead in sins. Dead in sins. And this is the reason for our spiritual lameness, our blindness, wretchedness, sin. Dead in sin. As members of humanity, we love, we commit, and we are filled with sin. A will that is bent against God, and we desire and we do actually break his law continually. In this verse, Paul knows that he is helpless. He knows that he's beyond all human aid because, almost exasperated, you can see it in his tone, he asks, who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me? I can't help myself. No one else can fix me. I'm beyond help. My condition is beyond human aid. And you who are unsaved, your condition of sin, it leaves you beyond all human aid. Like this poor man in Acts 3, as we pointed out, he suffered with his condition from birth. You too have suffered with the infection of sin since birth. You didn't waken up one day a sinner. You didn't become a sinner when you turned 18 or after some kind of terrible accident. It's universal. It's immediate. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Just as that lame man was crippled from the moment he was conceived, so you have been spiritually crippled from the exact same moment in time. The situation is depressing. As a sinner, you are spiritually poor, spiritually lame, and therefore you're condemned. Revelation 6 and 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Who shall be able to stand? That is a rhetorical question. It's one we already know the answer to. The answer is clear, no one. No one shall be able to stand before God in his wrath. As God looks at you and sees your life's work, the sin, the failure, as they say, you haven't got a leg to stand on. You're lame before God. You cannot stand. Who shall be able to stand? No one. No one. Considering Acts 3 again, this lame man was, personally speaking, hopeless. He could do nothing in and of himself to restore his health. He knew that no other man could do anything to sort out his condition. And yet, we read in this passage that he does receive the cure. He receives the cure. And so we've seen his sad condition. Secondly, we now see his supernatural cure. His supernatural cure. The situation was bleak for this man. And so when we see him cured, we can't help but respond like those onlookers in verse 10, Acts 3 and verse 10, where we read that they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. It's a remarkable transformation. What was the nature of that supernatural cure? Well, it was immediate. The supernatural cure was immediate. In verse 7, we read, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Peter didn't have to treat this man in any way, didn't have to work with him, inject him, perform some kind of surgery to help him regain his strength. He didn't have to wait for a period for this lame man to progressively get better and better. No physiotherapy sessions here, no anxious waiting to see how the patient would respond to the procedure. The text is clear that this man immediately was able to stand. His strength was demonstrated in an instant, in a very moment of time. The supernatural cure was immediate. It was also free. We've pointed out already, this man was poor. You could say that he didn't have a penny to his name. In fact, rather than being able to pay Peter and John and able to be cured, this man was in the process of begging for money from them. He couldn't pay in order to be healed by these men. Not that, of course, they would have accepted payment anyway, because Peter and John knew that this was not their doing. This healing was from a supernatural source. And that leads us on to another feature of this supernatural cure. Yes, it was immediate. Yes, it was free, and it was in the name Jesus. It was in the name of Jesus. Verse 6, Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter and John didn't have to treat this man, and they didn't require payment for the healing, because in reality they knew it was a work performed not by their ability, not by their skill, but in the all-powerful name and by the absolute authority of Jesus Christ. This healing came through Christ. It was immediate, it was free, and it was in the name of Jesus. We painted a miserable, a depressing picture in that opening point, noting that according to God's word, you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, as Lord writes in Revelation 3. Yet, there is a supernatural cure for the spiritually lame. There is a supernatural cure for you. The features of the cure for sin, well, they're the same as those features of the cure for this lame man in Acts 3. The cure for sin is also immediate. There's no process that you need to walk through or work through in order to be cured of sin. There's no ritual, there's no training procedure you need to complete before you can be delivered from spiritual death to life. In reality, there's no delay at all in the saving power of the gospel. In an instant, the sinner is brought from death to life, from being unable to stand before a holy God to being welcomed and accepted by him. Romans 10, we'll turn and read a couple of verses there that explain the point. Romans 10 and verse 9. As we read these verses, see if you can notice any delay in the saving of souls. Romans 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The cure for sin is received instantly. There's no waiting list. There's no triage or interview or delay of any kind. Like the lame man, at once the sinner is cured and made able to stand. The cure is immediate. It's also free. You can't buy it tonight with money. You can't earn it over time through work or labor. As a spiritual beggar, you haven't got the means to purchase your salvation anyway. You've got no merit. You've got no ability to pay your own debt. And we read in Isaiah 55, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Without money. And without price. What that means is that it's without money. It's without price to you and I. We pay nothing. We owe everything. But we pay nothing. However, our salvation is not without price altogether. As we said, there is a debt and it must be paid. But it's not paid by you or by I. This cure for sin, like the healing of the lame man, it comes through Jesus of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus, he has paid the debt. Yes, it's free for you and I, but for Christ it came at great cost. At great cost. Key verse for us to consider as the spiritually lame is 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Look with me at that verse. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. There we read, speaking of Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. As I said, this is the key verse for the spiritually lame. For you tonight who need to be cured, the who or the whose in this verse is Christ. What do we see in that last phrase? By whose stripes ye were healed. Healing. There is healing for you who are miserable, blind, and crippled. There is healing. For you who are dead to sins, as the verse says, there is life. How? We read in this verse that Christ took our sins in his own body to the tree. He had the sin of all his people placed upon him at the cross, all of their sin. And he suffered the wrath of God for that sin. He died for that sin which was yours. As it were, he had nailed it to his cross. That sin has been suffered for. It's been dealt with. It no longer hangs over the believer. It no longer cripples and burdens the Christian. Sin has been destroyed. The dead are brought to life. The lame are made to leap. By whose stripes ye were healed. This is a supernatural cure. It's free, it's immediate, and it's through Jesus Christ. What a change! What a transformation! This lame man in Acts 3 is made something completely different. Before, he was in a sad condition. Then he received a supernatural cure. Now what stands out in the third place is his subsequent conduct. His subsequent conduct. This man who was once lame, now he stands. Verse 8, we read that he stood. The one thing that he'd never been able to do for his entire life, and I suspect he spent an awfully long time thinking about what it would be like to stand. As he spent all day, every day, sitting on the ground, watching people stand around, watching people walk to and fro from the same spot on the floor, I imagine he thought long and hard about what it would be like to walk. All he could do was simply watch, longing to be able to do that which everyone around him did every day without even thinking about it. He dreamt of being able to stand. And now, within a moment of time, he leaping up, as it says in verse 8, stood. He leaping up, stood. And having only just taken to his feet for the very first time, now standing, well, this man then moves on to his next new experience. He takes his first steps and he begins to walk. As a parent myself with two young children, I know that it's something very exciting, something frightening even, to see your children rise to their feet and take those first wobbly, tentative steps. That first experience of walking is something we don't remember. We're so young when it happens. But this man, taking his first steps as a fully grown adult, I am sure this was an occasion he never, ever forgot when he walked for the first time. He stood, he walked. But I think as we read the passage, it doesn't give me the sense that those first steps were like a child's first steps, wobbly and tentative, because we read in the same verse that he was walking and leaping and praising God. There was something new about his feet and his legs. Yes, he was able to stand, he was able to walk, but there's something new about his lips as well. This man, and perhaps I speculate a little bit at this point, perhaps having hated and cursed God his entire life for the miserable existence that he had endured, now he loudly and unashamedly praises God. In fact, it's so loud that everyone in the vicinity noticed. It couldn't be missed. Verse 9, we read that all the people saw him walking and praising God. This man stood, walked, and praised God. And believer, these same features ought to be seen in you. These three things will demonstrate that you're no longer lame, but now leaping. These are evidences that you've been healed. Just as much as it proved to everyone around that this man's condition was now fixed, these same things will show that you've been brought from death to life. Now, believer, you stand. Remember we saw earlier from that verse from Revelation 6 that asked the question, in the day of God's wrath, who shall be able to stand? And we said that because of sin, no one is able to stand before a holy God. Well, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1 that for the believer, ye stand by faith. For by faith, ye stand. That which was not possible before is now your experience. Now you stand before God and you do not cower in fear. Now you stand before God and you do not suffer under his wrath for sin. You stand by faith. Because by faith, you have received Christ. By faith, you've been united to him. By faith, it's been placed on you his obedience, his merit, his righteousness. What was once a burden of sin has now been replaced with a garment of perfect purity. By faith ye stand. Not only do you now stand, now you walk. Romans 6 and 4 says, we also should walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. The expectation is not that we enjoy this new standing with God and we simply stay there, stationary. Like that once lame man, there is movement. We're to walk in newness of life. Not like before in Ephesians 2 when in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. There's something new about this walk. It's not according to the world, but it's according to God's law. It's according to righteousness. Now we walk in obedience. Standing as righteous before God, walking in newness of life and praising the name of God. When this lame man was delivered from his sickness, the world knew all about it. It was no secret. He couldn't hide it. He couldn't help but declare the praise of the one who had healed him. 1 Peter 2 and 9, ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once lame, now leaping. Once dead, now alive. As this verse puts it, 1 Peter 2 and 9, once in darkness, now in marvelous light. That dramatic transition can do nothing but cause the Christian to praise God. It can have no other effect. The patient we discussed in the introduction, that man from Poland, after 4 years, long, hard years, he'd been brought to the place where he could very slowly and with lots of support walk on his own feet. And it's a wonderful thing, a wonderful story. And I don't want to make little of that restoration that he enjoys in his body. But that man lauds the doctors and the specialists who got him on his feet. That man declares for everyone the great work that was performed on him by those medical experts. Christian, you have been brought from death to life. You have been taken from darkness to light. You've been saved from eternal wrath to eternal glory, and you cannot muster even a whimper to praise the name of the gracious God who performed this work. Recognize the work he has done. See his grace in your life. Praise his name and make sure everyone else hears it. Show forth the praises of him. It is evidence that you are healed. As we close tonight, this lame man was in a sad condition. Poor, helpless, beyond human aid. Then he received a supernatural cure, one that was free, immediate, through Jesus Christ. And then his healing was demonstrated in his subsequent conduct. He stood, he walked, and he praised God. Tonight, are you lame or are you leaping? There's no other condition. There's no halfway house. You're either one or the other. Are you lame or are you leaping? Have you been cured of that spiritual death in the name of Jesus? Are you able to stand by faith in him? Or are you still miserable? Still dead in sin? Without faith to stand? For you who are outside of Christ, remember that verse, Revelation 6. The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Trust in Christ tonight. By him you will stand. Without him you will perish. Trust him tonight. And like the man in this passage, you will be healed. Once lame, but now leaping. Amen. God bless this word to all of our hearts. We'll sing once again our closing hymn. 295, if you need the number. 295, all that I was, my sin, my guilt, my death was all my own. All that I am, I owe to thee, my gracious God alone. And we'll sing together in this hymn as we close our